You have to pay attention to detail and you have to give it your maximum effort.
Welcome to The Only Easy Day Was Yesterday, the official Navy SEAL podcast. Mental and physical health is essential to a successful trip through Navy boot camp, even more so for NSW candidates. I'm Daniel Fletcher. As we continue our boot camp series from Great Lakes, Illinois, we sit down with Medical Liaison for Crew Training Command, Chief Hospital Corpsman Jeff Ramirez. We answer some common questions about recruit medical history, mental health, medications, and preventative care. Listen up.
Thanks for sitting down with us, for one. And if you could just briefly talk about what you do here, that would be a great start.
So I deal with all medical-related issues in terms of recruit appointments, any injuries that we have here, going to network hospitals, to the Federal Healthcare Center, outsourced down in Chicago. Any questionable areas that the doctors have that they need to liaison with the RDCs here in terms of missed appointments or recruits not eating enough, or even if they feel like they're getting too much exercise. Because there's instances where we start breaking some recruits down that are couch potatoes, and then they get over here and they learn right away that it's a little bit different here.
What types of tests or any type of screening do you administer, or is that not part of your position?
So that's not part of my position here. So I deal with the docs, and it's going to range from mental health to your physical therapy, your preventive meds, and then general sick call. But it's every illness or injury or anything medical related between RTC and the providers.
Okay. Are there any ailments or injuries that you see specifically for the 800 guys that are coming through the pipeline here?
800 guys, I would say the biggest injuries that I see would be shin splints, stress fractures, and not getting enough nutrients.
Really?
Rhabdomyolysis. Mm-hmm. We'll see that. They didn't train for the pipeline before they got here.
Okay.
And so when they're doing the Dymo PT, their body's breaking it down.
Pretty severe.
The muscles are breaking down pretty severe, yes.
I guess that's a kind of form of a failed test, so to speak, if someone's put in a position physically where their body's not holding up. Are there any other specific medical tests that are given periodically or on a routine basis that you see NSW candidates having issues with?
Special physicals. Mm-hmm. They'll go to special physicals. They'll answer the questionnaires there, go through their overall history, see if there's anything that raises any red flags. In terms of anything periodic, that it doesn't happen unless they choose to go to sick call. You know, if they're having some issues with the RDCs, they see any 800, any recruit really walking around with limps or looking distressed or sick, we're going to send them to sick call regardless. You get your labs drawn over there, or if you got to go to bone density scan or x-rays. A lot of 800s, you know, they really want to be here, most of them, so it's kind of hard to get them to go to medical sometimes. So it's our responsibility, and I get a lot of phone calls like about that, hey, I have a recruit that's kind of been limping around. He says he's okay, but however,
most
spotty senses tell him he probably needs to get seen, then we'll go ahead and send him in there and usually find out something else.
If there's somebody who gets to this point in the process and then a medical screening turns up not good enough or a fail, whatever you want to call it, are there chances for a candidate to kind of retake a test? Can you tell me a little bit about the landscape of that kind of situation?
Yes. So if we're going to use vision for an example, so if you came here and your MEP says, you know, the MEP's doctor says your vision's a certain score and you come here and it's not, or you're colorblind, they're going to reissue the actual test again. So you're going to do one at MEPS, you're going to do one here. If you fail that, you're going to do it again. And if all the scores end up the same here, then they're going to either request a waiver if you're eligible. The special phys docs they're going to determine who's waiverable per the BUMED instruction. So they'll go in there and make sure it is a waiverable condition, whether it's vision, hearing. If it is waiverable, we'll keep them in the pipeline here. And then the waivers usually come back by the time they get out of here. If it's not, since most of them are contracted, then they can opt to either pick a different rate or pretty much get separated in their contract. So your basic recruits, they're coming in, they're not contracted like the 800s. If they don't meet specific requirements for a certain job, then they'll get put in another job. But for the 800s, if they don't want to fulfill their contract because they can't due to something medically related, then they can either opt to go or stay with another rate.
Our primary audience is, I guess I could say, the layman or layperson or civilian. So I'll do a little bit of interpreting for them. So someone who comes into the special warfare pipeline is kind of quasi-hired by the Navy, and they can then choose a different direction to take their career. Is that accurate?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And if they got their heart set on being a SEAL and you don't meet the medical qualifications to fulfill that contract, mm-hmm. then yes, you can drop on request and get separated from the Navy altogether.
Or decide to make a different decision. How often do you see that misalignment of MEPS decision versus something on site here?
There's those that do fall through the cracks. There's always human error. It's not as much as we think. Most of our drops are usually drop on request, really, after dive mo. In terms of medical, it's not as much as what we actually think.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. Mm-hmm. What types of tests can a recruit fail to have them say, you're not going to be able to be in the Navy at all?
Hearing's on a bigger scale right now than vision is.
Why is that?
Any kind of permanent hearing loss, the deeper decibels, it's an automatic disqualifier, and some of them aren't even waivable.
So you're saying that it's starting to become a bigger issue than it used mm-hmm. to be, or it's more noticeable? Or
I think it's probably more noticeable.
All the loud music.
I think I would say that the earbuds and the working out, I mean, I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't say I do
right,
it myself.
Right.
I would imagine that has something to do with it. So if you listen to something loud right away, you'll have that the minimum hearing loss, the temporary, at the lower frequencies. Mm-hmm. But the higher frequencies, and that would be you consecutively listen to your earphones really loud while you're in the gym 24/7.
Yeah,
or
no
in your
good.
Cars nowadays.
No good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that there's sometimes injuries that happen during basic training that can kind of put someone in that same situation. Is that something that people should be concerned with, or is that pretty rare in terms of shin splints that are so severe or whatever it may be that they're not able to continue? Do they have a chance to maybe have a few weeks to kind of heal up?
So we have the recruit convalescent unit that's actually here in Ship 4. Mm-hmm. The reason for that is if you do get shin splints or stress fractures, you actually get a rehab time. So when you go to the hospital, you go see one of our docs and they say, hey, you got shin splints, you're going to be light limited duty for 21 days. So that's 21 days of rehab. So during that 21 days, they're going to go to Ship 4 and their job is to get better. They'll be put in a hold status until they are fit for full duty. Once they're fit for full duty, they'll incorporate with another 800 to keep the training going.
Does it happen often enough that you think that's a successful way to deal with that?
I don't think it happens as much for the 800s. For the regular recruit divisions, yes. For the 800s, no.
And that's the same process for both of them in terms
yes.
of the time that they're given? And
yes.
Stuff like that?
If you look at the recruit convalescent unit, you'll have for every 30, 40 recruits, you might have one 800 in there. Usually when the 800s get injured is because that individual didn't prep.
Right, right.
So he came over here and did a little more running than what he or she was doing at the time.
Right, right, right. From your perspective, what type of advice would you give to someone coming into the pipeline to avoid types of medical issues that we're speaking of?
The biggest thing is prep. So don't do the